This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today we're going to talk about fasting, the amazing benefits of fasting, how to get started, and ultimately, you know, what the purpose of fasting is, because oftentimes people think it's just for losing weight, but I'm going to answer some commonly asked questions that I have as well. Now, if you've never heard of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, Max Living, and what we do, we look at whole body wellness. So we look at the body from the perspective of a whole and not the sum of its parts. And I hope this makes sense, because when you think about it, for example, say you have brain fog, right? Say you have brain fog, and you go to the doctor and you say, "Oh my goodness, I just feel really cloudy," and they run a bunch of lab work, you know, and oftentimes it's hard for them to figure out and pinpoint exactly what that is, right? I try to choose a relatively vague symptom. But the problem is, could it be a toxicity overload? Could it be the fact that you have yeast or candida in your gut? Could you be going through adrenal fatigue? So when you look at a symptom, symptoms are just our body's warning sign. It's a check engine light that there's something else underlying going on. And the problem is that so many times, I see people who, that's what they're doing. They're just chasing symptoms. And it's hard, because when you're chasing symptoms, it's not always the cause of the problem. The symptom is not always the cause. I heard a colleague of mine use this analogy, and I thought it was so spot on. Because if you step on the tail of a dog, what side does the noise come out of? Right? So it's not necessarily where the problem isn't necessarily where the solution. So people oftentimes come in with like, "Oh, I have back pain. Why are you looking at my neck if I have lower back pain?" And again, we look at the body as a whole, not just bits and pieces of it. And I think that, unfortunately, you know, so many times we call that now functional medicine. We look at the function of things. And that is inclusive. You know, when people ask me what my doctoral degree is in, and it's in chiropractic, most people have no idea the amount of training that we do as chiropractors in terms of four parts of boards, national board accreditation, state board accreditation, the amount of clinical hours that we do, cadaver dissection, labs. We did a full, 15-week course every day of renal physiology, of the kidneys, embryology, right? So we look at more than just the spine, although that is something that we obviously concentrate in. And that's one, too, where people always think, you know, well, you're a doctor of the spine. And I am. I'm a chiropractor. We move bones. But that being said, it's really not necessarily the bones that I'm as concerned about. What I'm more concerned about is what those bones surround and protect. So your brainstem and spinal cord are what control every single cell, organ, and tissue inside of your body. And it has to be able to flow uninterrupted from that brain down the spinal cord out the nerves. Now, the bones, each individual vertebra, are designed to surround and protect not only the spinal cord, but the nerves themselves. So when those bones shift out of alignment, it puts pressure, whether it's a loss of curvature in the neck, if it's a curvature in the lower back, it could be a scoliosis, it could be as simple as some pelvic unleveling. But what it's doing is it's putting pressure on that nervous system, not allowing for that brain potential to get out to the organ systems. As chiropractors, we address those misalignments and we correct those misalignments. More specifically at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, what we do as well is we look at retraining the muscles to set the adjustment in place so that you can hold it for as long as possible. That's what we do in our office. So we are doctors of cause. We look at the nervous system and the body as a whole, right? So is it one thing or is it a culmination of many things? So before we get into fasting and some amazing benefits of fasting, we're going to talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's Health in the News, it comes from CNN. Recalled defibrillators among exemptions in FDA's hidden database. This is the title, which really, really caught my eye. So before we get into the article, yes, there are times and places for medicine. I 100% believe that. That being said, it's unfortunate that as a population, we are not privy to all the information that the FDA has. So you would think if there's a massive site, say this awesome drug comes out that doctors are really touting and, you know, it's just the best thing ever. And then all of a sudden you find out this is best medicine ever, killed 70,000 people. Would you be concerned? And the answer would be yes. When you look at, for example, Celebrex killed over 60,000 people before they took it off the market in 2007. Right? But then there was such a demand because we thought it was so great as an anti-inflammatory that they reconfigured and then brought it out as Celebrex again. So when you're looking, there is a time and a place for medicine, but we've got to figure out with anything, there is a risk-benefit ratio. What does that mean? So if you take a medication, there's a side effect, right? There's a risk that comes to that, but there's also a benefit. If your blood pressure is 300 over 200, you might have some side effects of that blood pressure medication, but there's also a risk of not taking it. There is a risk of driving to the grocery store, right? If you don't drive to the grocery store, then you don't have any groceries. You have nothing to eat. If you do there, you take a risk. The benefit is that you have groceries. The risk is that you might get into a car accident. There is a risk benefit to everything. This, on the other hand, I feel like is a little bit different. So it talks about faced with the possibility that a bout of abnormal heartbeats could end his life in 2006, Dr. Mark Siklik had a small device implanted in his chest that would shock him back into normal rhythm. Soon he would struggle with another life or death choice, whether or not to remove the Sprint Fidelis, which was deemed dangerous and recalled in 2007 after it had been implanted in hundreds of thousands of patients. So the Sprint Fidelis was prone to giving patients random electrical jolts. They talk later in the article about how the electrical jolts to the heart would feel like being hit into the chest with a cannon or being kicked by a horse. That's how strong that jolt was. So not like a carpet shock. The Sprint Fidelis was prone to giving patients random electrical jolts and sometimes fail to fire in genuine cardiac emergencies, according to the manufacturer letters to doctors. What this Dr. Siklik and thousands of others in his position have not known is that the Food and Drug Administration quietly took steps to keep critical information out of public light. Shortly after the recall, the FDA and Medtronic, which is the manufacturer, made a deal to keep reports about the widely used devices malfunction incidents shielded from public scrutiny. In total, those cases are now totaling over 50,000. The FDA had allowed device makers to file 1.1 million reports of injuries or malfunctions to a little-known internal FDA database since 2016, spurring top FDA officials to pledge to open the records within weeks and shut down the alternative summary program reports. So for the last two decades, the agency had granted various devices different types of so-called exemptions from reporting to the public-facing database. One of those was the Sprint Fidelis. So in May of 2018, it was granted a remedial action exemption, which allowed for the manufacturers to initiate a responsible and appropriate action to mitigate the problems that they didn't have to report it to the public. They reported it to this secret database in the FDA. So they said now the FDA has granted exemptions. They have not granted exemptions since 2015 and have effectively ended that program. Well, that's great, right? In 2015, you ended this program of secret, backdoor, hidden 1.1 million claims. Would you think, like, if your loved one, your spouse, your child, your aunt, your uncle, anyone, yourself, do you think you'd want to know this? That there are 1.1 million reports of injury or malfunction to this, from this device. Like, that's, it just, it, this whole article blew my mind, because again, I would think the FDA is on our side, right? The Food and Drug Administration is there to help protect us, to help get that information. And if something goes wrong, right, we think, hey, we're going to put this, device into someone's heart in, 1,000 people, and that's going to be the trial. But then when we release it, we put it in hundreds of thousands of people. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing these problems. You would think the FDA would be on it to take it off, to protect us, to make sure that it wasn't being inserted anymore. Because the big problem, they go on to say, is that the wires of the defibrillator were designed to shock the heart into normal rhythm. But what they found is that that it caused 50,000 incidents of harm or malfunction in more than 35,000 cases. And you would think, well, we should just take it out. But the problem with that is, because the leads are entered into the heart muscle, as they were taking it out, they found that there was a great increase, citing major complications, including death, ranging from 1 to 7 people if you tried to surgically remove, 7% of people, I should say, 1% to 7% of people, if you tried to surgically remove the leads. So there was a huge recall, which was really, really big news. But when they're looking at all of this, like, remedial action, there was only over 22,000 incidents of lead fracture, nearly 2,900 incidents of inappropriate shocks, and multiple cases of death. They said in 2007, there were more than 2,300 reports of death in which the device was suspected to have played a role, while filed with the FDA and are publicly available now. So it just, it's one of those, like, what's the big takeaway of this? Is that everything's safe until it's not safe, right? When you're looking at drugs, surgery, everything's safe until it's not safe. And our ultimate goal is, hey, you know what? If you're going through AFib and you're going to die because you have AFib, like, thank goodness we've got these things. But what if you don't have AFib? What if you are young and you're athletic and, like, what are you doing in your life to start investing in your health? I read a thing online that talked about how you can make time to pay for wellness, or you will make that same time and pay for illness. And it's true. We have to be more proactive when it comes to our health. And the problem is in the United States, we've put so much warrant in letting ourselves, not taking care of ourselves, you know, in this whole, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it model. So then all of a sudden, our health comes crashing down. We don't have it. We've got diagnosed with all these disease processes, all these medications. And it's like, what do we do? And the real thing to talk about is, why don't we look at investing in our health? So if we could stave off any of those illnesses, if we could do our best to say, hey, I am making my body an unappealing host for cancer, I am making my body an unappealing place for high cholesterol, then why don't we go through that regard first and foremost? And it's about prevention. And that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So if you have any questions, you want to come in, get checked out, see exactly what we do, initial exam and consultation is just $25. Number is 317-893-2853. Again, that's 317-893-2853. Or you can go to our website online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, and you can request an appointment there. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the amazing health benefits of fasting and how to do it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Today we're talking about fasting. What are the health benefits of fasting? I will answer some commonly asked questions, as well how to get started. How to get started and how to break the fast. Are there some warning signs that you should break the fast? So we will go through just some commonly asked questions about fasting. Now, here's what I get oftentimes is, who should fast? And that's a great question. I am a proponent of fasting. Children, not a great faster, right? Like, we don't have children fasting. These are just adults. Pregnant adults, not fasting. Nursing moms, also not a good idea for fasting, right? Like, I'm currently a nursing mom, so I'll do some intermittent fasting, which we'll also talk about because that's a stepping stone to full out fasting. But I will tell you, before, when we knew we were going to start our family, that is something that I did several days of extended fasting because I knew that it would be kind of a while until I was able to go through that again. And what's crazy about it the most is that how great I felt while fasting. You know, you always think about you're going to feel absolutely terrible. And honestly, the opposite of that was true. I felt great fasting. Now, there's a couple different fasts that you can do. You can do a juice fast. You can do a bone marrow broth fast. Or you can do a water fast. I have not done just a straight water fast. That'll be once I'm out of this phase of my life. I have done a juice fast, and I have done several bone marrow broth fasts. That being said, between the two of them, the three of them, the ones I would recommend the most, honestly, are the bone marrow broth fast as well as the water fast. And we'll kind of go through why, but the juice fast, unfortunately, really spike your glycemic index quite a bit. Even the green juice, if it's not a lot, but you've got to think it's all carbohydrates and it's juice of carbohydrates. So the unfortunate part is it spikes your insulin, which we're trying to monitor and regulate when we're going through these fasts. So I always think it's kind of interesting. I would say the hardest fast that I've ever done is a juice fast. I've done one and I will never do one again. It's just a personal preference, but there's benefits from the other two that I want to reap more of the benefit of. So what are some benefits of fasting? Now, this is just fasting in general. It's not necessarily like a water fast, but this is just fasting. So where you're not consuming anything. So autophagy, which is also known as autophagy. Autophagy is self-eating. So it's the process by which the body naturally removes cellular debris. This is probably one of the most incredible benefits of fasting. When we talk about fasting, this is like a couple days in terms of fasting. So what they found is that it helps food allergies. It helps with people that have underlying increased inflammation. Autoimmune disease, and I'll kind of go through why that is next. Cancer, now by no means does it say that it gets rid of cancer, but fasting in and of itself, when you have this self-eating autophagy, it's a great, our bodies are designed to do this, right? Like, you have a process of cell cycle turnaround. We've got apoptosis, which is basically cell suicide, where our cells say, "Yep, this is my time's up, it's time for me to go." Right? And then there's autophagy as well. So we're self-maintaining machine. And oftentimes when we go through those fasts, what it does is it actually increases the amount of self-cleaning our body is able to do. And they've done many studies indicating that fasting can turn down an overactive immune system responsible for a lot of underlying conditions. Fasting has also been shown to regenerate pancreatic cells, and in animal models can even reverse diabetes. So when you're looking at immune system, so oftentimes these immune system cells are overactive. And so especially in our gut microbiome, what they're finding is that the body is able to go to those bad cells. You have a hypersensitivity when it comes, right? So all of these immune cells are hypersensitive. They're overactive. And so what the autophagy does is it actually says, hey, you're too much right now, so we're going to get rid of you. And that's the self-cleaning. But you have to be in fasting to increase that. And that's one of the benefits of going through that fasting is it helps your body naturally increase it. It's not a pill that you can take. There's not a specific, you know, supplement. It's part of the actual process. It looks as well at stem cells. So it increases stem cells. Most people, I feel like more recently, because there's stem cell injections, that people understand that stem cells have a great benefit. That's why moms will sometimes do cord blood banking, right, to get the stem cells in there. So stem cells are often called master cells because they can grow into any of the body's 200 types of cells. So one of the benefits of fasting relating to stem cells is that there's a rise in stem cells during and after a fast. So it helps explain some of the amazing healing benefits of fasting. So according to a recent study done by an Italian researcher, Walter Long, prolonged fasting breaks down a significant portion of white blood cells. During each cycle of fasting, this depletion of white blood cells, which is your immune system, induces change that triggers stem cell-based regeneration of new immune cells. So again, this is one where we talk about for the immune system. In many instances, older cells that were causing the body to be overreactive, autoimmunity, food allergies, that would lead to hyperimmunity and other health issues, actually regenerate into newer, younger cells in the body, and a better functioning immune system is allowed to be possible. Fasting is amazing. Another one that you'll see in terms of benefits are ketones. People will understand a lot of this ketone production with the diet known as ketosis, right? Oh, I'm keto. What that is it's saying that you have minimal carbohydrates and it allows for your body to start producing ketones to burn as energy. So when you talk about ketones, ketones are a byproduct of the body breaking down fat for energy that only occurs when carbohydrate intake is low. Well, if you're not taking in carbohydrates, then your body says, hey, I need to find another source of fuel. And there's a couple sources of fuel, right? There's glycogen, which is stored in the liver. So that's one of the most bioavailable sources if you're not getting it from eating, right? And people understand this, like if you ever check your blood sugar after you eat, it increases. It increases more if you have carbohydrates. So what your body does is says, hey, so we're going to start breaking down fat and we're going to use those ketones as energies in the body. So that's what in terms of ketones, some of the benefits. There are a few benefits of using ketones as health in the body. So it helps with stabilizing mood, hormone regulation. It can help increase HDL, which is known as your good cholesterol. It has helped showed blood sugar regulation, memory and cognitive improvement. The brain loves ketones, right? The brain absolutely loves them. It turns on and off. It helps with epigenetics. So you have genes, right? And you have expression of your genes. The expression of those genes are what epigenetics are. So that's how you actually express your genes. So our goal is to say, hey, we want to turn off the bad ones. We want to turn on the good ones. Ketones actually help with that. So again, this is not necessarily the same as diabetic ketoacidosis. They are very different. When you look at energy, you would think that you would have less energy during a fast. My first fast, I was so surprised. I had planned I typically do a 4-day fast. I will work my way up into 5, 6, and 7-day fasting periods. But what's interesting is the first fast I ever did, I planned to do nothing. I thought I was going to be sick. I didn't know what to do. I was, you know, all of this stuff. And you will go through a little bit of fatigue, but not anything. I was surprised on the mental clarity that I had during fasting. It took about a day or two to get there. But the mental clarity I had was just in the energy. I cleaned the entire house. I think it was like maybe my third or fourth fast. I cleaned the entire house because I did have quite a bit of energy. And hormone optimization. So even during a short fast, there's a rapid increase in growth hormone. So optimizing hormones is not about gaining more hormones, but becoming more hormone sensitive, your body's ability to utilize those hormones. So hormones like testosterone are dramatically amped during a fast. So hey, men, you want to increase your testosterone? Go through a fast. So over time, our cells become more sensitive to hormones, even insulin. For example, during a fast, hormone sensitivity increases while glucose and insulin stabilizes. There's also a drop in thyroid hormone that takes place, but the body becomes more sensitive to it when it needs it. So fasting cleanses the body and allows it to listen to hormones more effectively. Like, are you not excited about fasting yet? Now, not everyone should necessarily jump into a five-day water fast, right? Let's talk about that. That's kind of important to address. That being said, we'll walk through some stepping stones on how to get started. But as always, you have to consult your doctor before doing any of this, right? I am a doctor. If you are not a patient in the office, I am not your doctor. So you have to actually go see your medical doctor, your primary care physician, to make sure that fasting is right for you and how to go about it appropriately. You need to have someone on your side. I've seen a lot of people who fast incorrectly and they have a lot of problems throughout and after, where it could have been very avoidable if you had a doctor alongside of you who has knowledge about fasting, the benefits, and how to go through that. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. Now, another two really great benefits of that fasting. One is that it helps fix the gut barrier. I had had a question from someone more recently that talked about, you know, if you're fasting and you have bacteria build up in your intestines, well, isn't that problematic? Because then the bacteria will start eating along at your gut lining. And the answer is no. That's not true, because there's enough fecal matter that sits through there that doesn't become problematic. But what happens is fasting is especially great for helping restore leaky gut, which is leaky gut is when the intestinal wall exhibits permeability. This is a lot when you see gut-related problems, leaky gut, you'll see food sensitivities start and then oftentimes autoimmune to follow. So that's one where we look at overall for the gut. This being said, when you start to regulate your insulin level through the fasting process, this is where you see a lot of the benefits of the die-off of that bacteria. So it helps heal and seal the gut. And this is why I like bone marrow broth fasts, is because that helps with the collagen, the gelatin, to help heal and seal. But 80% of your immune system lies in your gut. So the microbiome influences our genetic expression. But fasting helps starve out the bad bacteria, and refeeding with fermented food helps repopulate the gut with beneficial bacteria. So this is why I said I don't necessarily care for the juice fast as much. One of the benefits of fasting is regulating glucose and insulin. That being said, if 6 times a day we are drinking something that's designed to spike our insulin, I feel like I'm very sensitive, so my insulin would go up, and I did straight green juice, no high glycemic index, everything was very low, but then I would plummet and I legitimately thought I was dying multiple times. Where throughout the fasts that don't necessarily have carbohydrates, so the bone marrow broth fast, the water, it regulates it more and you can see more of that benefit. And then again, they found just in terms of resetting DNA, it helps turn off bad genes, powers up the good genes in terms of resetting DNA. So helps with getting rid of harmful chemicals. So there's a ton of benefits when it comes to fasting. Now, that being said, again, jumping into a 5-day water fast might not be for you. So when we come back, we'll talk about stepping stones to fasting, some do's and don'ts during fasting, and while you're in a fast, should you stop? We'll tell you exactly what those things are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can go to our website at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. A new link that's in there. If you go on your mobile device to greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com and you'll see our office, where we're located, telephone number, hours of operations, and then there's a request an appointment. Now, even better, if you scroll down a bit further under About This Max Living Clinic, you will have a link. And that link says, schedule an appointment with us here. You can actually go on and schedule your own appointment. So if you're like, I want to know, I just want to schedule an appointment. I don't want to have to talk to anybody. I don't want to have to call or email or text. All I want to do is hop on and schedule an appointment. Schedule an appointment with us here. There's a link underneath About This Max Living Clinic. You can just go online, schedule an appointment right there. Initial exam and consultation is $25. If we have to do anything else in terms of testing, x-rays, we will let you know before anything happens. We do work with different insurances. Always bring in your insurance on your first visit. We will get your insurance checked and verified to see if you have any coverage. You'll know time and cost-wise before anything happens, no surprises. The way we run our office, here's exactly what that looks like. Here's what it costs. Here's what your insurance covers and or doesn't cover. Here's your responsibility. No questions ever. It's very clear, very candid. Now, fasting. This is one where if you start a fasting protocol, you know, I think education about fasting is great. Do I think that everyone should be fasting? And the answer to that question is no. Nope. There are people who should not fast. There are people who have an idea of what fasting looks like, but don't know how to execute that. And unfortunately, oftentimes people decide to go on this journey on their own without guidance of a doctor. And I don't advise that at all. I discourage people from doing that. You have to be alongside of a practitioner who knows what they're doing. So make sure before you do anything, you're not going to say, I listened to this podcast and I'm going to fast because I'm advising you. You have to make sure that you have guidance from a doctor. So if that's our office, if we're your doctors, if you have another primary care physician who is knowledgeable about fasting and how to do it appropriately, then that's what you need to look at. Now, for the average person, say people who shouldn't be fasting, right? Who are people who shouldn't be fasting? Anyone who's under the age of 18, pregnant or nursing moms, diabetics. There's a handful others, but those are the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. Now, for the average person, going into a 5-day, 4 or 5-day fast might be a bit much for that individual. So here's what I oftentimes recommend, and most people can do this. It's intermittent fasting, right? So intermittent fasting is a fasting period, right? So instead of going days with a fast, we plan out a duration of time. Now you can start with there's two periods of time. There is a fasting period, and then there's a consumption period. That fasting period is obviously where you don't consume anything but water. The consumption period is where you eat your food. So a couple different things really when you look at in terms of eating food. I always tell people you can start off with a smaller window so you can skip a meal. So say you want to skip breakfast. Personally, I feel like that's the easiest because oftentimes with the hustle and bustle of the morning, often people skip breakfast anyways. Now, say you eat dinner at 7 o'clock at night and you don't eat lunch until noon, right? So what is that? 17 hours, right? That's 17 hours because you're going to eat food from noon to 7. Right, 7? I should have done the math before I started talking about this on the radio. Yeah, 17 hours of fasting and 7 hours of eating. That's 24 hours in a day. Cool. Got it. Maybe you need to go a little bit longer. So say you're going to stop eating and you stop munching at 8 o'clock at night and you eat breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's an 8 hour fasting period. So that's a good place to start. And then the ultimate goal is to take that period of fasting and elongate it. So maybe you say, I'm going to eat a late lunch and an early dinner. So I'm going to eat lunch at 1 o'clock and I'm going to eat dinner at 5 o'clock. Here done at six. So from one to six, that's a 5 hour phase that you consume where there's a 19 hour of fast. And that's a way to kind of work your body up a little bit more. But again, it helps with some of, but not all the same benefits of intermittent fasting. Like it'll help you with regulating glucose and insulin for type 2 diabetes. It can help increase human growth hormone. It helps with blood lipid levels, so blood fat, LDL, HDL, cholesterol. So you'll still get a lot of those benefits, but they're just not necessarily as great as if you go through the full multiple day fast. Now, that would be ideal when you look at starting. But again, you have to advise. You need someone to walk you through this process. Some questions that I had for people. One of those questions is, well, what if I am only 100 pounds? I'm only 100 pounds and I don't have any weight I can lose. Well, I'll tell you this. Honestly, I've done several, like quite a few fasts, and I have never once weighed myself before or after the fast. It is crazy because I weigh myself normally. I've never weighed myself before and after a fast. And the reason being is because although, yes, you will likely lose weight throughout this fast, it's because you're not eating, right? You're drinking water, drinking bone marrow, you're not eating. So of course you're going to lose some weight. I've also never done a fast for weight loss. I have done a fast more specifically for some of the benefits we talked about in the last segment. That's what I want to see. On a cellular level, I want my body to be able to balance hormones, balance insulin, help detoxification, turn off bad cells, turn on great cells, work with self-cleaning machines, increasing stem cells. That is why I do fasting. That's why I fast, right? And again, in all honesty, I've been pregnant or nursing for the last 3.5, almost 4 years now. So, right? Two and a half, 3 years. Anyways, it's been a really, really long time. So I'll do intermittent fasting. I can't do full fast because I've been pregnant or nursing for like ever. Now, that being said, when we talk about weight loss, you will lose weight while you're going through. That being said, oftentimes what they're finding more now with research, and this is for, you know, slender people or people who are trying to build muscle, sometimes they think fasting may not be for them, but they're actually finding that the self-cleaning, the autophagy or autophagy, depending on how you want to say it, actually helps with breaking down and cleaning out bad protein. So oftentimes when we look at rebuilding muscle, it helps your body rebuild muscle more effectively and more efficiently for the months to follow. So oftentimes when we have more of a concern about weight loss, I understand. But that being said, you can still go through and have that. No, yes, you will lose weight, but there's another means behind it. So more so I have questions of when do I know I'm ready to break my fast, right? We know how to get into fasting. How do you come out of it? A couple key components. One, as you start fasting, you might expect to see some things that are not your normal, right? If you're on a 4-day water fast, you can oftentimes see a drop in your glucose, which is normal. You'll see decrease in cravings. Oftentimes, you'll see your tongue turn different colors. I've had people's tongues turn yellow. I've had people's tongues turn black. So when you start to see your tongue turn back to a normal pink, that's a sign that your body is ready to stop that fast. If you notice that you stop losing weight for a couple days, that's time for your body to stop. If you if your breath that was, you know, because oftentimes people have a really stinky breath when they go through this. If you notice that your breath stops stinking or your detox reaction, sometimes people have odd skin reactions, that's time to stop. Or if your fatigue lasts for longer than a day, that's time to stop. Now, when we start reintroducing food back into the system, you have to understand that your intestines have been healing, right? They've been quiet. They're in silent mode, right? So the last thing that we want to do is shock them back. Think about this. When you go through a 4 or 5 day fast, when was the last time you ever had your intestines not working for days at a time? And the answer is, if you've never gone through an actual several 3 to 5 day fast, your intestines have been working every day for your life. So if you're right, however old, multiply that by 365, and that's how many days your intestines have been working, right? So when we address that, you have to look like they've been in quiet mode. So the last thing that we want to do is, one, not only shock the intestines, but then two, shock your system with a whole bunch of glucose. Your body's like, hey, I have all of this mental clarity. I have all of this energy. I'm working on ketones, right? So the last thing we want to do is shove it into shock. So I will tell you the one thing that I typically do, the food that I consume coming out of a fast, a multiple day fast, are eggs, goat cheese, and avocado. So all of it's cooked, minus the avocado, but it's soft. All of it's cooked. It's easy on the system. It's easy on digestion, and it's not going to spike my glycemic index. So imagine you have a salad with raw cucumbers and peppers and kale and spinach, and you put some honey balsamic vinegar on it. That is incredibly hard on the system for two reasons. One is that there's all of this foliage, and your body's like, I'm sleeping. That's like someone pouring a bucket of ice water on you when you've been sleeping. You're like, ah, oh my gosh, like, what are you doing? Right, you're in shock. So you want to be like, hey bud, you want to get up? Here's some stuff. Start working. Like, it's a gentle roll out of bed, not like a militant mattress flip to get you out of bed. The other thing too is like honey balsamic. Guess what that has? Honey. So it's going to spike your glycemic index. I will tell you, this is one of the biggest things, especially when coming out of a fast, that people do incorrectly. And it's because they don't necessarily have guidance. And I've seen it happen when people say, oh, I just thought I would fast and not consult you at all. And then they're like, I'm having all of these additional problems. It's because that there's a right and there's a incorrect way to do things. And so when I first started fasting, I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't monitoring my glucose. I wasn't monitoring my ketones. And so I said, oh, I'm just going to eat clean. And I did just that. And after my first fast, I had the worst brain fog. I had no energy. I work out multiple times a week. I didn't work out for like a month and a half because I felt terrible. And so I realized going into my next fast that I had to be more cognizant of what I was doing. I had to be more diligent in my testing. And I did, and I paid attention. I really put in the work to pay attention to looking at the amount of carbohydrates I was eating, the amount of fat I was eating, to make sure not to throw my system out of ketosis. Because that's what you go into when you go through these fasts oftentimes, is that you'll start using ketones. Well, then all of a sudden you introduce glucose, your body goes into massive shock, and you feel like absolute garbage, right? Because again, there is a right and a wrong way to do things. So inevitably, our ultimate goal is to figure out how to do that, is cooked foods, incredibly low glycemic index, as well as lower carbohydrate foods are going to keep you into that ketosis, and then you can gradually work your way out. So that's one that's really, really important. But there's warning signs, there's check lights that you have to be able to know a little bit more of that. And then again, surrounding yourself with people who know what they're doing, that are experienced in that regard. I've had colleagues of mine who did a 21-day water fast. I can tell you, I have never done that before, but it's one that he did awesome. He did amazing. The healing processes in his body, off medication, lost weight, felt great. Joints have never Felt so good. So this is just one that there is a lot of benefits. But again, there's a right and a wrong way to do not only a 21-day water fast, but there's a right and a wrong way to do intermittent fasting, or a right and a wrong way. So you just have to surround yourself with key people in your room that are educated and are there to help you meet your health goals. And again, that's what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853. If you go to our website at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, scroll down past the request an appointment, fill in the blanks, and there's actually a link that you can schedule your appointment. It will put you right on our schedule. greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hopefully you've got some education about fasting, what you can do, the benefits of, and how to get started. More information, you can just reach out. If not, I look forward to helping you next week. And always remember that your power is on.